Centuries ago, something very strange happened to our whole world. It may not have been May the 31st, but it was Sunday morning, 50 days after Easter, as today is Sunday, the 50th day after Easter. It was on this day that 120 men and women gathered in a small room, heard a sound like the rushing of a great wind, and they suddenly found in themselves courage that they didn't know they had, and a capacity to speak so that people who heard them understood how to be saved, how to be made a whole people. These 120 went out of their room and into the world with the sound of this wind in their ears. And they told the story of Jesus. They invited all of those who heard to turn from their sickness and sin, to believe the good news that God has come to the world with new life. And many who heard them said, "You're drunk. You're crazy." Until they listened more deeply. And 3,000 of them came to realize that these were not drunk or crazy. What they were was alive. What 3,000 of them said was, "We want to be alive like this too. We do repent of our sins. We do believe the good news." Today, I won't tell you that same wonderful story again. What I want to do is tell you another strange story, more ancient, that in many ways anticipates and explains what happened on the first Pentecost. The man to whom it happened to was the prophet Ezekiel, who was also called by many a crazy man. He had visions. He had the kind of visions that if you talk about them, they'll lock you up. His most famous vision was of a valley of human bones. And he too heard the sound of a great rushing wind. And he saw all of these scattered bones coming together, and flesh coming on the bones. And he heard a breath, and those who had been dead stood up and breathed and lived and shouted and sang. They came alive. Was this real, or was it a dream? The rabbis used to debate this. The Talmud records one of their discussions. One of the rabbis says, "Yes, it happened. The dead were raised by Ezekiel. They were raised to life. They praised the Lord, and then they died again." Another rabbi said, "Oh, it happened, but they went home to Israel and got married and had children, and my grandfather was one of them." Another rabbi said, "All of this was a true parable." "Really?" said one. "How can that be? If it was a parable, it can't be true. If it was true, it can't be a parable." Whereupon the answer came back, "It was truly a parable. knows? I offer to you today this strange vision, and it is a parable, and it is true. And in a way, it happened to my grandfather and my grandmother. By the mercies of God, it has happened. It is happening. It will happen to me and to you. Let's go back to the start of this vision. Let me ask you to try seeing it. A huge, dark valley where not too long ago a terrible, horrible battle had raged and thousands had fallen down dead here. Fallen down screaming, massacred. And now, weeks have passed, maybe months have passed, and in this dark valley, the elements and the wild beast have done their work. And now, the bones have been picked clean and bleached white and scattered all over. And in some places, piled high. Human leg bones, arm bones, rib cages, skulls, lizards and scorpions go scuttling through the bones. Can you see this? And walking all through the scattered bones, walking is one man with tears running down his face. These are the bones of his people. So many have died here. So many have died in other places. And so many who didn't die have suffered worse than death. They have been taken away, captive in a foreign land. They are exiles. And as Ezekiel looks at the valley, this valley of bones, he is grieving not just these who have died here. He is grieving for all his people. These are the bones of his whole community of hope. Dead, defeated, in despair. So in a way, they were his own bones. In a way, they looked to Ezekiel like God's bones too. Because when your community really dies, it can seem as if your God has died. And this destitute man, surveying this acre of the bones of his hope, that has this one question burning in his brain. He hears, as it is, God whispers a question to him. O mortal man, son of Adam, can these bones live again? Have you been there? Have you been there like Ezekiel, who did not know the answer? Who did not say, yes, they can live? But who, with a sigh, O Lord, only you know. You've been there. How about this for a vision of your dead hope? If your hope has died anywhere, how about this for a vision of your community or your family that has been defeated by divorce, death, unemployment, drugs, or any other number of things that can tear a family apart? How about this for an image of the church? The church as a boneyard. There are some hopeful things happening in the church today. There are some hopeful things happening in this church. All across the world, here and there, there are signs of vitality and power. But let's face it, it seems reasonable to say that in the vast areas of the church, including the church in which we live, the church is less like the living body of Christ and more like dry bones. Think about how many ways the church is disjointed, torn apart, now very, very dry. We disconnect by race, black, white, separate. We disconnect by age, old, young, middle. We disconnect by gender. Men do this, women do that. We disconnect by rich and poor. We disconnect by educated and uneducated. We disconnect by conservative and liberal. We disconnect by those in the church who are committed, who serve and give and shine, and those who are uncommitted, who will not serve or give or shine. Is the church an integral united living organism, the living body of Christ? Or is the church a scattering of dry bones? Sometimes I think our church programs are dry bones. Sometimes I think our church doctrine have become a pile of bones. And all our resources, our people, our money, our buildings, bones. And we can arrange them and rearrange them and fight over them and build them and build huge integral institutions out of all these skeletal elements of church. But when it is all done, the thing never gets up and moves and does what it is made to do. Because it is an unintegrated, inorganic, dry, dead pieces of a church. I wonder if anybody's life feels like that today. Know what I mean? Here's my job. Here's my family. Here are my friends. Here is my faith. Here is my past. Here is my money. Here is a whole lot of other stuff. I've got all of these elements here, part of my life, but I can't get it all together. I heard someone say, I got it all together once, but I couldn't pick it up. What some of us are doing with our years is less like living a life and more like living a disjointed collection of some elements of life. I'm here to tell you, your life was not meant to be lived like that. Your life was not meant to be disjointed fragments. Your life was meant to be unified, purposeful, and whole. And God says to Ezekiel, and God says to the church, and God says to you and to me, can these bones live? And the Lord said to Ezekiel, speak to the bones. Tell them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. You shall live. You shall live and you shall know that the Lord is God. And Ezekiel in his vision preached to the bones. I've done that. He preached to the bones the promise, you shall live. And then all over the valley there was a noise. And behold, said Ezekiel, a rattling of the bones. The bones came together, bone upon bone. And then there was in the valley a knocking and a clinking as bones snapped into bones and formed whole skeletons again. And then the skeletons began putting on tendons and muscles and organs and skin and hair. Ooh, wouldn't you like to see what the special effects people in Hollywood would do with something like that? But when it was all finished, it was a more horrible sight than when it had been in the beginning. Because Ezekiel saw now it wasn't a boneyard anymore. What he saw was an endless morgue, a valley covered with corpses. You see, what we have here is a miracle. A miracle here, but it's not enough. It feels to me like a miracle here of new organization. What was disconnected has gotten itself back together again. If here is the church undergoing a miraculous reconstruction, or reformation, a gift of God, if you will. If this is the church, is a miracle of reformation, if these bones are you and me, then it's happening, what's happening here is partly like the gift of what can happen for people in good therapy. You know, all the pieces just come together. Everything begins to make sense. Only that these bring a new crisis. For now, what we see as what we could never have seen before is that what we are is dead. We made sense out of everything, but we don't have the power to get up and live now as we want to live. I know the problem, but can't find the answer. Something is needed that we haven't got. And it's the same with our life together. We can rebuild our family. We can reform our church. Put all the pieces back together. Do all the right things we know to do. And it's not enough. Something else is needed that we don't have inside ourselves. Then the Lord said to me, "Preach to the wind. Come, O wind, and breathe on these who are slain, that they may live." You need to be reminded that in the Hebrew scripture, the word for wind is the same word for spirit, is the same word for breath, ruach. Call out to the breath, call out to the same spirit that is in the beginning hovered over the void till it sprang up with life. The same breath that God called into the nostrils of a man-shaped lump of clay till it leaped up a living soul. The same spirit wind, that breath came rushing over those 120 men and women disciples and made them truly alive. Listen. There is a power that we do not have within ourselves, without which we would be dead. But when God gives it, we live. Look at Ezekiel's vision. He cries out, "Come, O Spirit, Come, wind, come, O breath of God, and breathe life into what was dead. And the Spirit does come, and chests of thousands of corpses begin to rise and fall, and the spark begins to come from thousands of pairs of eyes, and those who were dead stand up and shout and sing and dance and live an exceedingly great host. Friends, let's not look for the new life that we need inside ourselves. You can rummage all you like in your little bag of tricks. You can even rummage in my little bag of tricks. And you will not find what we need. What we need is outside ourselves now. Look for the Spirit of God to come and to give. That's the Spirit's nature. Call on the Spirit. Ask for the gift of the Spirit. How do we get it? Well, we can't make it happen. As Jesus said, the wind blows wherever the wind will be blowing. There is a sense in which, like the bones, we, like those 120 disciples, have to wait for the Spirit to come. And yet, there is another sense where the Spirit seems to be waiting for us. Before Ezekiel called to the wind, he preached to the bones, come together. Before Jesus sent the Spirit, he said to the 120 gathered there, come together and wait and pray and ask, and it will be given. And when Peter that day preached to the crowd to tell them how they might have the Spirit and this life, what he said was, repent of your sin. Turn from what you know is against God. Believe the good news and be baptized. It would appear that while the Spirit is a sheer gift to powerless people, that there is a way for powerless people to rise up in this wind and receive a gift that the Spirit is eager to give. Dry bones, stand on your feet if it's your life you want. If it's integrated, unified, organic, growing, real life you want, then you start by repenting of your sins. Turning away from what you know is against God. And believing that the good news of God in Christ is real for you. You can pray with all your heart that the Spirit of Christ will come to you and to us. And if you do, be prepared to be amazed at what happens next. You will rise, you will stand, you will speak, you will sing, you will find yourselves being made whole. You will find yourself breathing with the breath of God. Come, Holy Spirit, come. And make it so. And come and make our dry bones rise up and greet the gift. Let us pray. Come, Holy Spirit, and convict us where we are dead. Come and stir the disjointed fragments of our living until we are brought back together again, whole people in a whole community. Please breathe into us now your Spirit that we may come at last again alive through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.